Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And this morning, a look at what Republican control of Congress will mean for business. And then later, some advice for Washington on how to actually get something done.
When you need to tackle an issue like procrastination or failing to execute the goals that you're really committed to, you need to be pretty serious about that and think, okay, what's really going to work?
But let's start with a really big week for Republicans. And joining me are regular contributors Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Jonah Serra with The New York Times. So the Republicans now control the Senate, and they've increased their majority in the House. But previously, they have obstructed the president at nearly every turn. So now that they're in charge, Rana, do you think in a weird way we might actually see some cooperation?
I think we might. I mean, you know, it's hard to argue that the last couple of years of partisan politics have been a win for Republicans. I think that, you know, it's given them a really bad rap, as it has the Democrats as well. I think also that when you look forward to the presidential elections, that the swing votes are going to be more from Democrats rather than, say, from the Tea Party. That might encourage Republicans to kind of orient themselves more towards the middle and encourage deal making.
Well, Joe, what are the areas where they can actually find agreement on?
Well, one area is energy. The Keystone XL pipeline, which is supposed to take oil from Canada and bring it down to the Gulf of Mexico, and which has been highly controversial for the entire Obama presidency, has a lot of support among Democrats as well as Republicans. So you could definitely see them passing legislation basically saying, let's approve the Keystone. Corporate taxes is another area where surprisingly, the Democrats and the Republicans both have a pretty clear idea that's pretty similar, that the corporate tax rate has to be brought down, get rid of some of the loopholes, and so on and so forth. So that's two areas.
I'm skeptical still on corporate tax reform. I mean, everybody wants it, but the details are just so hard to hammer out. And it's really hard for me to think that the same lobbyists that have kept tax reform off the agenda for the last few years are not going to keep at it.
You know, Republicans are often seen as the party of business, but there are a lot of Republicans, including the incoming chairman or the expected incoming chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, who has not always been very charitable towards banks. Is it an automatic given that just because Republicans are controlling the Congress that this is good for business?
I actually think it is good for business. Richard Shelby, who will be the new chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, can be rough on everybody, but he's pretty anti-Dodd-Frank, the reform law.
The reform law that was put in place after the financial crisis.
That's right. And, you know, if you look down the line with Republicans chairing all these committees, they're definitely going to be much easier on business.
It sounds like you guys are kind of positive that there may actually be a lot of decisions and actions that are made in Congress.
There's going to be a lot of contention as well. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, has already declared that they will put up Obamacare for a vote to vote it down. They'll send that to the Senate and see what's happened. Now, the truth of the matter is there's one small bit of Obamacare that both sides would like to fix, and that's to get rid of the medical devices tax, which has been seen as unfair to the medical device industry. You could do that one little thing. That would be cooperation. But instead, what will probably happen is, you know, they will send a bill to the president, which he will veto, that abolishes Obamacare, and everybody will be at war again.
You know, before the new Congress is even sworn in, there's still a lot of old business to attend to, like funding the government. There's a stopgap measure that's keeping the government going, but that expires on December 11th. So do you think that we're going to see the chance of more government shutdowns if it is contentious like you're describing?
I think that that's really going to depend on how the Tea Party looks in terms of a political faction, in terms of strength. And, you know, if you see someone like Ted Cruz start to become the Republican front runner, then I think that, yeah, it gets interesting to shut down the government to gain points. Otherwise, no, because it was just such a disaster from a PR standpoint last time around. I can't imagine that working.
And yet it didn't have an effect necessarily on this election. A year later, it wasn't something that voters were thinking about.
Right.
Mitch McConnell went on record this week basically saying there won't be a government shutdown and the United States will not default on its debt or even come close. You know, it'll be a test of his leadership to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I think he's up to that task. He's never been happy about that aspect of the hard right wing of his party.
Jonah Serra with The New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congress is often criticized for not getting anything done. Waiting until there's a crisis has led to 11th-hour budget negotiations, the sequester, and almost defaulting on the national debt. But procrastination is not unique to Washington. We all do it. So why do we put off doing the things that we need to do until the last possible minute?
One of the first reasons we put things off is that we're actually afraid that we might fail.
Heidi Grant Halverson is the associate director at the Motivation Science Center at the Columbia Business School.
When most people think about their goals, they think about them, you know, if I complete this project, then good things will happen. The problem with that way of thinking is that when we think we might not succeed, it's really demotivating. There's another way to think about your goals where doubting yourself actually has an advantage. That's taking the same goal, but instead thinking about everything you might lose if you don't succeed.
Is part of the problem with trying to get things done that we want to feel that I'm ready to get things done?
Absolutely. And I think that's the sort of a second big category of procrastination is this idea that you need to feel like doing something in order to do it. And it's just not true. And in fact, actually, what we find is that a lot of people who are very successful in the arts, when you look at their daily routines, almost all of the really successful ones have created routines in their lives so that they will work regardless of how they feel.
So routine is really crucial.
Routine is absolutely crucial. What you need to do is actually decide in advance when and where you're going to do it. What you basically are doing is saying, not sometime today I'm going to return that phone call, but instead you say, okay, at Wednesday at 2 o'clock, you know, at my desk, I'm going to return that phone call.
It sounds like, though, there's a little bit of set those things up and then don't think about it.
The place where most of us get derailed when it comes to reaching our goals is when we're deliberating about what to do, right? So, you know, if your goal is that you're on a diet and you say, okay, you know what, I'm trying to lose some weight. I'm going to go into this restaurant and I'm going to be good. That's one of those things dieters love to say. I'm going to be good,
I'm
right?
I'm going to get the salmon, not the hamburger.
Exactly. I'm going to be good. So don't give yourself room to rationalize your choices. Don't think a lot about whether or not you feel like doing something. Decide in advance what you're going to do. And then in that moment, shut off the thinking and just do it.
Heidi, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can listen to my full conversation with Heidi as a separate podcast on iTunes or by going to moneytalking.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.